Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's Monday night, and it's crazy. Life has been crazy the last couple of weeks here. Wanted to bring some things to your attention. I'm waiting on Miss Sarah. Bottom line, this show is a great show, but it is nothing without Sarah. And if I haven't said that lately, it's true. Sarah is the one that makes this show and everything else. I mean, I have opinions, and it's her opinion that to me counts legally, and she's wonderful. And I think she's coming. Is that you in the studio? Hello? Must not be here yet. Okay. We will not have a show next week. There are some complications, and that needs to be handled, and so there will not be a show next Monday. It's not that we don't love you, but we'll be honest, we have... I have another commitment, and I know Miss Sarah does too, but and I'll be wrapped up in that. So, you know, bottom line, it'll be fine. Hopefully, we'll be back in 2 weeks. So that to me is very important, and I hope that you know, hopefully everything will work out. Life sort of gives you the weirdest times also sometimes. I will tell you this, and if I haven't said it, I'll say it again. This show is nothing without Sarah. She's my rock. She's my attorney at law. So, yeah, but she is my rock. She is wonderful. And I know this Georgia case is... an interesting case. I was reading about it earlier myself, that this was his property, and you know, and now it, you know, because they barred him from entering because there was no you know, his friend's nephew owns most of the land around it, that he's going to end up losing his house. Now, what I find also interesting is lately with the real estate laws, and I'm not an attorney, nor do I play one on television, with the real estate laws, people are supposedly getting false emails from they think is the bank, and it's basically people in hackers. And what annoys me is these hackers are taking down payments, or, you know, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars in a down payment, which amazes me. Let me see. I think this is her in the studio now. Is this Miss Sarah?
Hi, Bennett. How are you?
I'm alive. How are you?
You know what? That's always a plus, Bennett. Always a plus.
I understand that. I was reading about this case, and I'm amazed. It's a great case. And I know that you have to do your homework first.
I do. I absolutely do. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for my few minutes late arrival, but I am Sarah Avraham, and I am attorney licensed to practice in the state of Georgia. And Bennett is a wonderful and prolific book author and critic and an editor and just all sorts of man about town. And he's uncle to the super baby and just a really great friend. And we are here tonight to do the legal show. And we want to let you all know that although I am an attorney, I'm not here to act as an attorney whenever I do the show, and neither is Bennett. And the act of sending a message to either one of us or listening to the legal show does not create an attorney-client relationship. And listeners of the legal show should not act nor refrain from acting based upon any information contained in any message from the hosts or listening to the legal show. In fact, listeners should first seek competent professional counsel regarding the specific facts and circumstances at issue in their case. So if you're in Georgia,
well,
I want to
put an addendum here. A friend of mine said, "You do the legal show, right? You need robes." He gave me a robe, a judge's robe. I'm like,
hilarious.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Sarah. He didn't know you. He would have got you one too. We could be the Supremes.
That's right. We could be this. I see what you did there, Bennett. That's amazingly clever. I like that. Yes, we could absolutely be the Supremes. Well, it could have been any worse than whenever I walked into court today, and this is actually a true story, and I don't tell very many of these, but I was in court today this early this morning, an hour and a half from my house, and I had to be there at 9 o'clock this morning. And for those of you that don't know, I'm very much a night owl. Bennett and I have been known to chat well into 3 or 4 in the morning because, well,
we're both up late. 3 or 4 in the morning, yes.
Oh, yeah, easily. And so 9 o'clock, an hour and a half away from my house, is a bit of a stretch for me. And so I walk in, and, you know, it's always good because it's criminal defense. It's always good whenever you get there to, you know, introduce yourself whenever you're not familiar with the people there. And I wanted to make sure that the prosecutor knew that I was there because this gentleman was previously represented by a public defender, and I wanted them to know that, you know, he had a new lawyer. And so I walked up, and, you know, everybody's just milling around, and there's no formalities. So, you know, the judge, presumably when that's going on, the judge hasn't gotten on the bench yet. And I walk up to this nice lady who's sitting where the judge would be. She's not wearing robes or anything like that. And I walk up to her and tell her exactly who I am and what I'm doing there. And I said, "Oh, are you Miss?" And I used the last name of the prosecutor in the case. And she said, "Oh, no, I'm the judge." And I said, and that, for those of you that don't know, that's an egregious breach of protocol. And I said, "Oh, my goodness, I am so sorry, Your Honor." She's like, "Oh, no, that's okay. The person you're looking for is over there, and your the former defense attorney, he's not here yet. But I'll let you know when he gets here. It's all very informal." And, yeah, that surprised the stew out of me. So it's been an interesting day, Bennett, to say the least.
Well, let me ask you one question, and I'm going to ask this for you. I was just asked this. Brett just asked me, and thank you, Brett, for the question, and I'm asking Sarah, did the judge say anything to you later about it, or was
no,
she cool about
not.
It?
She was actually quite nice, and she was, you know, young, modern judge. That wasn't that much of a problem. And,
I love the instant responses. You get a Facebook post that's like, "What is she mad about?" I'm like, "I don't know."
No, the rest of the day went fine, and I actually got the got a decision in favor of my client, and so today was a good day.
Oh,
well,
that's all that matters.
It may have started out egregiously embarrassing, but no, it got much better. So, always a pleasure.
As long as the judge didn't give you contempt of court, we're good. I don't want to bail you out. I don't want you, your husband, me, or any of our mutual friends to bail you out of jail, okay? We sort of like you.
Oh, well, bless you. I would
Thank
really
you.
Rather, if I ever go to jail for something, I don't want it to be for something as minor as contempt of court. So, you know, if I ever get behind bars, which I have never, ever been arrested, I want to make it a good one. You know what I mean, Bennett? Just a good one.
Well, I'll try to get you your Supreme robe, and we can take the picture and go, "Where's the Supreme?"
That's right.
Okay. You want to tell them about tonight's case? I began to, and when you weren't here, I love it. It's a great case.
Oh, well, what have you covered so far?
I just basically get, you know, the guy is going to lose his home because that, and I was also talking about a future case we may be doing about how these, I didn't go into a lot of detail, but these people that are getting money from the bank, or they think they're sending it to the bank and doing that, but we're going to be doing that one, say, next month.
Yeah. So, yeah,
that's the one where they say, "Send me your money," and they think they're
yeah.
to the bank. And it's
right,
not the bank,
right, right.
It's somebody in, Portugal, I think?
Actually, I was reading about how, and, you know, just FYI, dear listeners, since we have an extra 15 minutes that Bennett bought, God bless him, that we, the do not call list, you may notice, especially on cell phones, do not seem to be working as well as they used to. And I've actually noticed a proliferation of extraneous phone calls on my phone. And I actually remember looking at my dear husband and saying, does it just not work anymore? Do we have to renew it? I thought we just renewed it a year ago. And he said, I don't know. Well,
yeah.
I saw an article the other day about how now that voice over IP technology has become more prolific, the laws in regards to the do not call list apply to, you know, robocallers and telemarketers in the United States. But if they are in other countries and they use a spoofing service in order to make the phone calls look like it's coming from America and they start to do that, then they're not subject to the same penalties as the people were before. And I'm like, wow, isn't that just really a, you know, sneaky way to get around that? That's absolutely horrible.
See, we have another case without even trying.
We have another case without another case. We didn't know.
Without even trying. Okay, so would you like to tell them about tonight's case? Because I think they'd rather hear you say it than I say it, because I'm not a lawyer. I'm a good poison, but I'm not a lawyer.
He's a good poison, which is why he's not a lawyer. So, all right, in Bartow County, Georgia. So, in the state in which I am barred, which means I have an extreme amount of authority on law here. Still not giving legal advice, but at least I know my stuff whenever I'm talking about, you know, as many times as the listeners have had to hear, well, I don't practice there, so I can't say. Well, now I can say. So here's the good news. In Bartow County, Georgia, which honestly, one of my best friends from law school, my study partner, lived up in Bartow. So that is not very far from where I live. This is probably a good, about 30, 45-minute drive from where I live. But in Bartow County, this story broke, oh, goodness, this was back in March. So it hasn't been that long ago. But he bought a house only to find out, okay, so he, you know, whenever you buy real estate, presumably, you buy the house and the land that it's sitting on, right? Cool.
Right.
Well, not so cool, because he found out that he doesn't own the land that it sits on. And now, and then he was saying that the people who do own the property will not let him access the house sitting on the land for which he is paying. And so law enforcement officials had to be involved, and they told our local channel here, WSB is Channel 2. I believe that is our Fox affiliate, in case they're listening. Maybe our ABC affiliate, but they told Channel 2 that the gentleman's name is Matt Johnson, and they said that it had to be resolved in court. There was nothing they can do. So here is the flow chart. Are you ready? So ladies and gentlemen, get out your pen and paper so that you can keep up, because I couldn't keep up when I read this the first time. But Jordan Marshall and his wife were ready to own their first home after the arrival of their child, who at that time was 7 months old, so I guess he would now be 10 months old. And he said, me and my wife, this is a direct quote, me and my wife are really excited to have a place to call ours. You know, the American dream. You have a family, you have a home. And he said that now he feels helpless because he showed Matt Johnson. I'm sorry, Matt Johnson is the reporter. I apologize. So I apologize for that confusion. But he showed Mr. Johnson, the reporter for Channel 2, the paperwork that proves that the house off of Highway 20, and I know exactly where Highway 20 is. I use that to go to a dear friend's house, and there's a restaurant out there where we eat in this huge mall up there. So, yeah, he's definitely about 30, 45 minutes from where we live. But he showed the reporter that proves that his house off of Highway 20 in Bartow County is his, meaning the house, but almost 90% of the property that the house and his driveway sits on belongs to someone else. And so, Mr. Marshall, making sure I'm keeping up here, yes, he's the house owner, said that the property owner knocked over trees and built a dirt wall in front of the driveway in an effort to keep him out of his home. And, you know, of course, the homeowner said he doesn't understand it because he bought the house in January. So this is January of this year, from a friend. And a land survey that he saw after buying the home showed that his friend's nephew owns most of the land that the house was built on. Plus, he also owned the only ingress and egress to the driveway of the house. And so Mr. Marshall said he didn't deal with a real estate agent and didn't pay for his own land survey. He said, being a first-time home buyer, I wasn't aware that I needed a survey. And so Tony Collum, who is the property owner's father, didn't want to speak on camera, but he did deny his family is blocking Mr. Marshall and said he wants the land to stay in his family. Well, it sounds like to me that they probably were blocking it. And then deputies charged Mr. Collum, who was the property owner's father again, with criminal trespassing in January when Mr. Marshall, the house owner, told deputies he believed that Mr. Collum was parked a taxi cab there to block him. And Mr. Marshall said that he has had to keep paying the mortgage for a house that he can't live in for fear of being foreclosed on. Because, of course, I don't know if you all know this out there in listener land, but whenever you buy a house, you buy the house and the property that it's attached to. That is not separate things. You may pay separate prices, and you may buy a piece of land and have a house built on it, but once it is called a fixed asset, then it's sold as a collective. There's no, oh, I'm going to go in and buy this house because it's super cool and break it up from the land, unless there's a lot of paperwork. I mean, because you've heard of houses being moved or
right.
definitely houses being demolished. But that's usually because that the person owns the house and the land that's below it, and they choose to move the house. And so, yeah, and let me finish up with the notes that I have here. He said he needed some help. The house costs $130,000, and he can't even live in it. He's having to make mortgage payments on it. And he says that he was back then in the process of finding a lawyer to try to get the money that he put into it back. And then the seller referred Mr. Johnson, which is the reporter, to his lawyer with any questions about the property, and he, the attorney, did not want to comment.
Well, let me ask a silly question, because this is from Beth, and it's not that silly a question. If somebody else came, whoever owns the property, and they says, well, this house is on my property, I want to live in it, can somebody else do that? The property owner
well,
saying.
Are you talking about the dirt or the house? And I apologize, Beth, but in this particular case, we do have to specify.
Okay, somebody says, I want to live in that house. It's on my property. I want to live in it.
Well, here's the thing.
Even though he's not paying the mortgage.
Well, but this is where it gets really sticky. Mr. Marshall owns the property, but his friend's nephew, I'm sorry, excuse me, let me be super specific here. Mr. Marshall owns the house. But his friend's nephew, or the nephew's friend, or however that went, Mr. McCollum, Tony McCollum's son, owns the land. So can they come in and say, this is on my land, I want to live in it? No. But can Mr. Marshall go in and say, this is my house, I want to live in it? The answer is still no, because if someone else owns the property where you have ingress and egress from your house, then they can legally block you from using that. Because you would be guilty of criminal trespass and liable for civil trespass if you actually kept trespassing on the land. This is what is so incredibly messed up. Neither one of them can use what the other person legally owns.
But, okay, they can't own it, okay, and I'm not trying to be funny.
No, this is very this
can
is
he
a,
knock
a
it down?
Legal
it's on my land, I'll knock it down.
No, because
okay.
they don't own it. But the biggest solution to all of this would either be they sell that piece of land, or at least ingress and egress to the guy's house, or the guy needs to be able to pay to be able to move the house off of the property, like we were talking about here just a few minutes ago about, you know, because you can't actually break up a foundation and move a house. But that is really expensive.
That well, let me
really
ask you.
Or I guess the door number three would be that the guy who owns the property buys the house from the guy. But it doesn't sound like he's the cooperative sort, let's just say.
Well, could the bank foreclose on the house? And the bank foreclosed on the house, which is on the property. Why?
But do you know why? The bank
why?
Could end up foreclosing on the house because if a house becomes inhabitable because it hasn't had electricity, people living in it and maintaining it and keeping it in good upkeep, then they could come in and foreclose it, and then the guy who owns the dirt would have to fight with the bank who then owned the building. Now you know why I picked this case. It was amazing. And I forget, I think it was a friend of mine that actually sent this to me via Facebook Messenger. I was like, oh, my God, have you heard about this? This is everybody where you live. And I was like, I'm doing a show on that. I'm like, that's
yeah,
messed
well,
up.
I back your play, lady. I know you're good, you know.
That's right.
I will tell you this. somebody said to me, who picks your cases? I said, usually Sarah and I talk about it, but when she has a winner, believe me, I want to do this and milk it for everything.
Is how we do it. Bennett and I see stuff or people send us stuff, and then we send it to the other person. If we feel very strongly about it, then we make a case, and 9 times out of 10, Bennett's like, yeah, I'll do whatever case you throw at me. He's never questioned any, although there have been a couple that have been too dark. And then there was only one whenever I was like, oh, God, do we have to do this show? And he's like, yes. I said, okay. So that's the extent of the arguing that Bennett and I ever do.
I'm sorry. I'm a Redskin boy. You know, that I remember that show. That was my team. It still is. Okay.
Oh, no. I don't believe it was that one. I think it was the one about the Star Trek spoof movie or something, and then actually once I started digging into it, I was like, oh yeah, you know, this is actually a really good idea to do this one. But yeah, we've never come to loggerheads about anything that we decided to broadcast. Never.
Your husband, I don't know if he sent you this message, he said, can the homeowner helicopter in to avoid trespass?
Yeah, I'm reading his message right now. In Texas, ego has to happen if house is on land. Okay, so he's saying in Texas, and he was a Texas landowner more than a few times whenever he lived out there. He said ingress and egress has to happen if the house is on the land owned by another. Yes, there are some states that do protect landowners that say that it's pretty much a constructive taking, as they call it in the legal world, where a partial taking of the person's property occurs in order to give the other person ingress and egress upon their land. But that's Texas. That's not Georgia. That's exactly what's happening here.
Oh, I understand it, but he, in a way, you know, if he's not allowed into the property because they're blocking his way getting in. Now, if he happens to get a helicopter...
Right. Well, I answered his second question. Now, the first question, could he helicopter in? He could helicopter in and land on the 10% of the land that he did own. So it sounds like to me that since the driveway and 90% of the house was sitting on the other dude's land, that means the 10% of the land that he did actually own probably was where part of his house was. If he could precisely helicopter bungee jump or trampoline over to that 10%, yeah, he absolutely could do that. But he would only have rights to live in that 10% of the house, at least at the moment, until this gets straightened out. And by the way, I've done the research. This hasn't even been filed in court yet, let alone had anything done about it. Maybe they solved it or resolved it by somebody buying something, and if so, they never reported it back in the news. Of course, to my house, if I knew the address, I could just drive up and say, hey, what happened? But I couldn't find an address either.
Is this called investigative journalism?
Oh, I thought about interviewing. Yeah, exactly. I thought about interviewing these guys, but I didn't have any way of finding them.
Well, we need to find them. We'll get a future show with this.
That's right.
Let me do a little homework because I will say this. Next week, I will be off for some stuff. I really don't want to go into detail. Those who know me know what's going on. Those who don't, I'm taking off a week. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not trying to be rude to Sarah. She knows what's going on.
I do.
I'm sorry?
But everything is going to be just fine. And I said, I do, and everything is going to be just fine, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Hey, that's right. This week on Let's Talk, Michelle Paisley Reed will be my guest on 6:30, Wednesday the 7th. On the 9th, Hidden Mickey's Dave Smith will be here, and we'll be talking about his new project he's working on, and that'll be great. My apologies, as I said, on the 14th and the 16th to Gene Joachim and Jennifer Chase. I'm sorry, ladies. Since I'm taking this week off, I'm taking the week off. I'm sorry. I will tell you also that Robin Peterman will be here on the 23rd, and I'll be back on Anything Goes at 11 o'clock on the 23rd. So I'm very excited. a lot of people say to me that this show is just an ego trip. It's not. I love Sarah and her opinions, and if I could expand it and get her more, I would. I really think that she is the backbone of this show. And if I haven't said thank you, thank you.
Oh, bless you. And yes, it's absolutely about my ego, and thank you for noticing.
Oh, what's
what
okay
statement is that? Oh, no. It's
hey, I get the weird, not weirdest is the wrong one, but people are like, this show is an ego trip. Not really,
yes.
No.
No, maybe not for him, but it is for me, because I stand up in rooms full of people. I just got through standing up in a room full of 30 people yesterday and was teaching them about the law, and this is one of the first things that I talk about whenever I give my credentials, because I am so proud of it. And if that's ego, then so be it. And I'm perfectly okay
hey,
with that.
You, baby, you could say it. I could say call her baby. Her husband lets me.
Oh, absolutely.
Baby, you can do it anytime you want. I support it, you know.
I figure it's good advertisement for us, Bennett.
Hey, I one of these days, I'm either you're coming up here or I'm going down there, and we'll do one live and videotaped. I already have a friend of mine who is a TV producer, and he would love for us to tape a live version of the legal show.
I would be more than glad to do that the next time we come to New York.
Yeah, well, I know, but he would like to have both of us in the same room live. And it's like, oh, my God, you guys are nuts. Yeah. And I'll be wearing my little Jerry Lewis screen glasses looking at my computer screen, and Sarah will be looking at her computer screen. It's like, oh, God, yes. But it'll be, you know, so everybody wants to have one. It'll happen. Trust me, it'll happen. What else can this guy do with this house? He can't put it back on the market, can he?
He could, but nobody would want to buy it. That's why the courts are going to have to figure out what to do about this, because, you know, this guy bought this house and the little squiggly piece of land that he owns, he paid $130,000 for, and if he can't pay or afford more, he may not be able to afford to buy the land to make ingress and egress upon this house and to, you know, buy the land that's underneath his house. And what if he wanted a yard? I mean, you know, it sounds like to me that whoever represented, there was misrepresentation here. And if it was through the friend's nephew or whoever that sold him the house or whoever it was that told him, yes, this is what you're getting, then it needs to be – that needs to be addressed. I mean, most definitely. If he had – he said he didn't have a real estate agent but did – he didn't have a survey, maybe there was some sort of title insurance. Maybe there was a title search. I don't know. But you definitely should never buy a house without a title search, title insurance, and a survey. I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
Well, let me ask you, if he goes to the bank and says, I can't live in my house, here's my keys, take the property. I know that's not what he wants, and you and I both know that. I mean, once you live in a place and it's yours, you don't want to move out. You're settled. You got things in there. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But he goes to the bank and says, like they did in the movie Larry Crown, I'm dating myself now with Tom Hanks, you drop
the keys
off and say, I can't afford this house. It's your responsibility, and the bank needs to take the property. Am I correct? Or is that not in Georgia law?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think any case like this has been decided before, and if it has, not under these particular circumstances. I couldn't find anything that would match up extraordinarily well, and the remedies that I know of is that the house owner can get an injunction to get the landowner to stop from blocking ingress and egress, because then he is doing something to damage the value of his home by not letting him being able to inhabit it. However, okay. the guy who is the landowner also has an issue because he now is being deprived of the use of his portion of the land that the other guy's house covers. What I think is going to happen is that it is going to have to go to court. And so whenever he says that, or whenever that happens, the court is going to have to force either the guy to sell the house to the guy that owns the land, or they're going to force the guy that owns the land to sell that portion of the land to the guy that has the house, or, there is a door number three, the court can compel them to sell the house and the land to a third party.
Problem is, since he's paying mortgage on it, okay? He's making mortgage payments on this property. Now, if he's making mortgage excuse my stupidity, but if he's making mortgage payments on this, what can the bank do to get their property back?
Well, the same exact thing that the guy that owns it now is going to. If the guy just says screw it and then walks away and decides not to make another mortgage payment and they foreclose, they're going to have the exact same issues that the guy that currently owns it has.
But wouldn't, okay, supposedly they say he doesn't own the property of the land. But the bank, supposedly, wouldn't the bank have the land documents there in the mortgage? I mean, wouldn't it be in there? I mean, maybe I'm not making sense. When you buy a house, usually they have a land.
When you buy the house, yes, when you buy the house, you usually have a survey, which proves that the land that you are about to buy that's named in the title of what it is you're about to buy is actually available and has a free and clear title in order to transfer ownership. But the guy said he didn't have a survey, and I'm betting if he didn't have a survey, he didn't do a title search, and he didn't have title insurance as a result. So, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't just go off the reservation and say, "Hi, I'm buying this house on this property that's not mine." Somebody had to sell it to him. Would the realtor or real estate people that sold him the house be responsible in any way, shape, or form?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Okay. When I bought one of my houses long ago, they sold me a lot. Now, of course, there was no reports, but it didn't just go off the street and say, "Hi, I'm going to buy this house off of this guy's land." No, they had to have some sort of documentation because the bank had to file some sort of paperwork. Because the state auditors are going to go in and look at this and get the real estate files and review it. Now, if they're going to review it and the state auditor is going to say, "Well, this deal doesn't work."
What are you talking about, at the time of purchase or now?
Time of purchase.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying to say, Bennett, is that if this dude didn't have a survey, if he wasn't savvy enough to have a survey and there was no buyer's agent or anything like that, then somebody misrepresented what it was that he was getting. That's the person that needs to be held responsible because, you know, it sounds like to me that maybe their friend decided to misrepresent. And I only say that because, you know, this guy believed he was getting A. So as a result, he bought this house. Presumably he had the land and all this other stuff. And then this guy who wants to keep this land in the family is finding out after the fact and is blocking driveways and obstructing and doing all this other stuff. And so that's what I'm saying is that all the preliminary things that should be done whenever somebody buys a piece of property, this just never happened. And so now this is a legal quagmire that has been created that's going to have to be fixed.
But with the, okay, so how far can this go? Can the seller be in trouble with the house by not disclosing rather than, disclosing the land wasn't his?
Well, that is ultimately who's going to end up being liable here is the person who misrepresented. And it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, who misrepresented what here.
But, okay, if, okay, and I'm not trying to stumble to be rude, if the relative or whatever who didn't own the land misrepresented it, can there be any consequences? Not to the homeowner who bought the house in good faith.
Whoever misrepresented the transaction is the one that's going to end up being liable whenever the landowner and or the house owner sues in order to resolve this. In other words, if money has to exchange hands to straighten this out, whoever it was that misrepresented is going to be the one responsible for that.
So the question I have for you is this. Somebody's responsible. Somebody. We don't know who. Can the bank or can the government or can somebody step in before it goes to court?
No. I mean, because they called the cops. They're trying to get a resolution there. And so, yeah, no. The police have already tried. There's no administrative agency that can step in.
Oh, God. I mean, this guy is between a rock and a hard place. And, you know.
Well, it's like my husband just wrote, can the seller be in trouble to the homeowner, the house owner, because he didn't disclose the land wasn't his. Again, somebody's going to be in trouble for misrepresentation. At this point, I'm really sure it wasn't the buyer of the house, but it was either the landowner or the person, even maybe the landowner didn't even know. Well, and see, this is the thing that gets me. If the landowner didn't know that the piece of land was being sold with that and that house was being built on it, then somebody misrepresented everything that was going on to the landowner too. So the house owner and or the house owner definitely has a case. The landowner might have a case. It depends on who created the actual misrepresentation.
So we're going to revisit this one. I don't know when. I'm telling you guys the truth. I don't know when. But I think Sarah and I are going to revisit this. This one is like a jigsaw puzzle with somebody threw four pieces down and it's misplaced somewhere. What do you think?
Oh, this is an absolute mess. I mean, absolute mess. And I think there's a reason why this news first broke in March, and there's still nothing new on it because everybody is still wondering, you know, what's going on.
It's nuts. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. Sometimes the law is crazy. This is one of those. This is like one of those you can't spit on the sidewalk on Sunday laws and the cops.
Yeah, but you know what, Bennett? At least that was a law that was actually on the books at one point. I really do think this is new law in Georgia because I haven't seen nothing filed on it. And nothing, no comments one way or the other as far as what's going to happen. Yeah, my husband says, I think the nephew that sold the house did it knowing the land was owned by the uncle. However, the uncle didn't want to sell the land, so he let the nephew have the house built on it, and it was probably something involving a family fight.
The Hatfields and McCoys in the legal sense. We have 5 minutes left of the hour, and I want to say this too. Dana asked me, and I'm not trying to support or not support what's going on, wants Sarah's opinion on what she thinks of Bill Cosby and the new case that's against him. If he went to court today, that's why she's asking.
I know that he went to court today, and Keisha Knight Pulliam was there supporting him as far as all of the details of what happened. I mean, it just happened today, so I can't speak one way or the other as far as what I know about it because there's nothing to know just yet.
See, Dana, I do ask the questions you guys want me to ask.
And thank you for asking, Dana.
Okay, because she remembered last year we did a Bill Cosby show. And when judgment comes down to the one Sarah and I will address it. It's a little early. This is, what, the first day of court or something? But we will address it. And as I said, we will not be here next week. It's not that I don't love Sarah, and Sarah could surely run this show without me if she needed to. But, sorry, I'm getting a little choked up. Please bear with me. I should be back, and Sarah should be back, not next week, but the week after next. And with new cases and new things, I just don't want people to think that I'm holding off or Sarah's holding off. There is a situation. If you guys hear my voice, you know there is a situation. If I haven't said how grateful I am to Sarah and her husband and all you fans for supporting me and all the love and support I've gotten the last week or so, thank you very, very much.
Well, it's easy for us to do, Bennett, because we love you.
I know, but I don't want to go into details and all this. Those who have read my Facebook post know what's going on, and those who don't, just know I'm okay.
Then get
I'm
on
fine.
Facebook.
Yes. I'm sorry?
I said, then get on Facebook.
Then get on Facebook.
Go.
I'm not hiding from anybody. And somebody said, well, what are you not telling? I'm telling you guys what I know. But it's all, and Sarah knows, it's, I put it out there. You guys know what's going on. And I'm not leafing out my shogun in the box case. So nobody taking my shogun. But all kidding aside, if I haven't said how grateful I am to you, my dear Sarah, I am. This show is important to me, and thank you.
Well, we are definitely 100% behind you, Bennett, and I'm very grateful for you, too.
Well, ladies, gentlemen, and children of all ages, it has been an experience. In about 2 weeks, we'll have a new case. And not a new attorney, a new case. And both of us will be here. Somebody said, don't BS. I said, I'm not BSing. I'll be here. I'll be here. I'll be here. oh, your husband, by the way, before I forget, says, I love you, bro, even if you call my wife baby. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
But all kidding aside, this is almost like a gratitude tour, you know. Hey, I'm grateful for all the fans that we have and people that ask questions and everything else. This is your show. Please don't hesitate to send Sarah or myself a case or two our way. Not that you need litigation on, but a case that you see in the paper, you want questions answered, that's our job. We're going to try to explain new cases. And hopefully we'll be yes. Okay, Mike just asked, are we going to do the McDonald's case? I said, yes, we're going to do the McDonald's case. And I don't even have to ask. Sarah knows she wants.
Oh, the McDonald's case. Yes, sir. That's next. The next time we're on the radio. So the next time you hear the dulcet, sweet tones of Bennett's voice, then that's the show we're going to do, is a matter of fact.
Well, Mike, you got your wish. The lady of the house has spoken.
That's right.
That's right. I will say this until I talk to you guys again on the legal show. Good night. Fly right. Be well. Good night.
Good night, everyone.